Bom dia, boa tarde. Welcome to another episode of the PortugueseSoccer.com podcast. I'm your guest host, John Neves, back here again to talk about my favorite subject, your favorite subject, and that is, of course, Portuguese soccer, Portuguese football, whatever word you use in your part of the world. Episode 155. I hope you're all doing well. We got a lot to talk about. First off, we got a League Cup final on Saturday. We've got round 18 of the Liga B win. That'll be running from Sunday through Wednesday. We've got second division report to talk about. We had some very interesting results this weekend. We're going to review the transfer market in Portugal from last summer and some of those moves, how they have so far, have they been good or bad now that we're here in January. I'm going to review last summer's. And then I'm going to review what we've done so far in Portugal this winter window, and then obviously talk about some of the rumors. We've obviously got rumors such as Pedro Porro. That's the real big one right now in Portugal. And obviously I'll also do the big three report. So thank you for coming back to the PortugueseSoccer.com podcast, your weekly Portuguese expert here to review, preview, and talk about all this latest news from the beautiful country that is Portugal. And let me first off start off. Obviously, we have to talk about the League Cup final on Saturday night in Leiria. We have a Clásico between Porto and Sporting. Not really a surprise. I think going into the Final Four, we all thought that Sporting would beat Arouca. And we all thought that Porto, even though Académico de Viseu and manager Jorge Costa having a fantastic season, Jorge Costa suffered his first loss as Académico de Viseu manager, losing 3-0 to Porto in the League Cup Final Four. So no really a surprise. Sporting back in this competition. They've won four of the last five. Braga won the other one. Porto is seeking their first trophy in this competition. And that is something that's a very, very big deal for them. This will be the second time in history that Porto and Sporting will be playing in the League Cup final. Sporting won it a few years ago. They played to a 1-1 draw after regulation. They went to penalty kicks because they don't do extra time. And they went to penalty kicks, and Sporting came out on top, winning 3-1 in 2019. And therefore, you have really a team like Sporting that, as I've said a lot on social media, if they're going to win a trophy this season, this is their best chance. Eliminated from the Taça de Portugal, 12 points behind Benfica. That's just going to be hard to make up. They're going to be playing the Danish team, Medellin, which is the same Danish team that they're trying to buy Mafra center back Diomont from. They're going to be playing them in the Europa, but that's going to be tough for them to win the Europa. So this is really Sporting's best opportunity to win a trophy this year. And, you know, when a big three club does not win a trophy, this is not very good. And Benfica hasn't won one in a few years. Porto have won the last three, so Porto's got a bit of a streak to protect. But Sporting, they have not won a trophy. They're not going to win a trophy this season unless it's this one. And therefore, it's very, very important to them. Porto, I'm a bit surprised. The reports say that Claudio Ramos is going to be the starting goalkeeper on Saturday night in Leiria. And I'm surprised because of the fact that since Porto has never won this competition, that they would have gone with Costa as goalkeeper to do what they want to do. And look, Costa is, Claudio Ramos, since he's joined a few years ago from Tondela, he's only played something like 10 matches for Porto. He has a great record, though, 9 clean sheets in those 10 matches. But ever since he came from Tondela, he really hasn't seen a lot of minutes. One would wonder why he's still playing at Porto, but he's at Porto because it's a big club in Portugal. And he wants to, you know, be a part of a big club. But Claudio Ramos, from all reports, will be the starting goalkeeper this weekend. Pedro Porro, you know the reports, Spurs. Bruno Bernardin said in his press conference on Friday that if they do sell him, they hope that it happens after the League Cup finals so that he gets to play in the League Cup against Porto. There are reports that say that Sporting has made it clear to Spurs that they want him playing in the League Cup Final, and then afterwards he can leave to go to Spurs. There's been reports that say it's a done deal, and then they still say there's more talk. There are reports that say it's about, you know, payment plans, which is always a very important thing. You can't expect the club to just pay 41 million euros. You got to work it out with the bank. There are reports that say it's going to be 45 million, including Marcus Edwards, a percentage of his pass. So, you know, you've got Fabrizio the famous Fabrizio, basically giving, seems like he writes two tweets a day saying that it's going to be a deal until 2028 that he will sign with the Spurs and that it's very close to happening. So it's that time of the year, especially when you get into, and by the way, when I'm dropping this episode, we'll be under 1 week because the transfer deadline in Portugal ends next Thursday. You just get these reports where sometimes it's recycled news. Sometimes it's just saying that they're talking, which everybody knows they're talking. But when you report it, they're talking. People take that as news. But Sporting does want 45 million. They want the release clause for Pedro Porro. Sporting has made very good money this year, selling Mateus Nunes, João Paulinho. They are going to now probably lose another starter. But he will probably play on Saturday night. There had been some reports that, you know, this is going to upset Sporting, that there's all these rumors. And I'm like, give me a break. Sporting, Porto, Benfica players are used to transfer talk. It's a part of the Portuguese culture. Don't listen to any of that gibberish. This is not going to affect, Sporting at all in the final on Saturday. They'll be ready. And this is a good match. This is a very, very good match when you start talking about having two big clubs play in what is Portugal's third biggest competition. I guess after the Taça de Portugal and the Liga B win. And again, this is just a very, very good matchup. Conceição and Porto are not happy. They played Wednesday. Sporting played Tuesday. So Sporting has pretty much an extra 24 hours to rest. This has always been the way it has been with the Taça de Liga. They play Tuesday, someone plays Wednesday, and then the final is on Saturday. The club that's always playing on Wednesday, this is not the first time that I've heard about this, is always going to complain. But, you know, putting it on each day, you're playing it at a neutral site like Leiria. You can't play two matches in one day. You're not going to play it in the afternoon, one match, and the other at night, because people got work. You want your fan base to watch these games. But they're not happy, Porto, and they kind of lucked out this year. You know, one thing I will say about Porto is they do tend to complain about things that do make a sense, because if Sporting was playing on Wednesday, Sporting and Amorim would probably be complaining. And Porto always seems to come across as a club that's a bit of a whiners. But at the end of the day, if you remember during the pandemic, they were always complaining that there weren't fans in the stadiums. They've always kind of, in a way, complained about things that, quite frankly, a lot of people agree with, even if you're not a Porto fan. But the only solution for this is to play Monday, Tuesday, and then, even though, of course, the team that plays Tuesday would still have 24 hours less rest than the team that plays on Monday, at least they would have a good, significant 3 full days in between playing. But that's apparently been a bit of an issue, too. The last thing on this is no RTP International. My understanding of the game on Saturday is that it's being broadcast on Portugal. And Ashley, as I talk to you, I'm actually going to go look at where I usually get my information on these things. And, you know, I've always talked about the fact that the Liga, which is the one that runs this competition, this is not a federation competition, they have to find a way that makes people outside of Portugal watch these games. It isn't just being broadcast in Portugal. And we understand that there is somebody in Portugal that's paying the rights to these games. But for people outside of Portugal, here you have Sporting playing Porto. Okay, this is a fantastic game. You want to expose this type of football to as many people as possible. And at the end of the day, it just, it's not on RTP International. I still think they could put it on YouTube. I realize there's VPNs and things, but, you know, put it on YouTube so that people could see the game, block it in Portugal or as best as you can. but put people in the position to watch the game. And right now, is by the way, as I'm watching this, I'm actually going to where I go see the games. And you know, you look, and it's going to be on Star Plus in Brazil. It's going to be on Star Plus in Argentina. I scroll down. I don't see Canada. I don't see the United States of America. Hey, I see the U.S. Virgin Islands. ESPN Play Caribbean. Okay. You know, I'm looking here. I know it's in Sport TV 1 in Portugal and Seek. Hey, it's in Panama, Star Plus. Hey, you can see it in Mexico on Star Plus 2. But this is not going to be broadcast. And again, I just think for me, that's just a very big disappointment. I realize the Liga wants to monetize this competition. They want to make money. But to not have it available for a lot of the people outside the Portugal is just very disappointing, and I've talked about this in the past. But I understand the reasons. It's a business. I get it. But, you know, it's just disappointing. Another thing also is that Pedro Proença was asked this week. You know, he did his press conference with the press. And apparently, you know, again, there's been talk that they're going to move this competition abroad. I've heard different things that only the top four teams will be competing. In a few years, meaning the top four teams in the standings will compete the following year in the dust of the Liga, because with the Champions League format changing, Portuguese teams are going to be playing more matches in the Champions League, so they want to protect those teams. I've heard that, but then I've heard that the format won't change in terms of it's still going to involve group play and things like that, so we'll see what happens. But Pedro Proença has said that one of the places where they see the ability to play the Final Four and move it outside of Portugal to elsewhere would be perhaps the Middle East. And, you know, it used to be America was the country that everybody went to in the summer. Now we're starting to see a lot of matches being played in the Middle East. There's a lot of money being thrown around to these clubs. Look at last week, the two clubs in Riyadh, including Cristiano Ronaldo, that took on PSG. PSG, you know, makes that long flight to Saudi Arabia. Is it a good idea for the TAS of the Liga Final Four to be played in Saudi Arabia or Dubai or whatever it may be? Yeah, it's always good to expose your product outside of the country, because I talk about all the time that you want to get people interested in Portuguese football, not just our young players that are promoted on social media and then nobody cares about the clubs. You want to promote the clubs. And this is a good way to do it and to get people and to create some fans. But, you know, I still say they need to go to Paris. They need to go to Geneva. And I still think some years it's good to go to North America. You know, New York City, Red Bull Arena, New Jersey, which would be the perfect place to play if they were to come to New York, New Jersey. Check this out in New York City. Everybody says, well, it's going to be too cold. Folks, as of January the 27th in New York City, there has been no snow. Temperatures have been in the 40s and 50s. Okay, that's about 10 degrees Celsius, 15 degrees Celsius. People in Portugal play in that weather all the time at night when it gets cold in Portugal. Okay, so they can play this place in North America. But of course, with their luck, they'll probably wind up coming the year and there'll be a blizzard. But if they were going to do that this year in New York, not a problem. 50 degrees on Saturday in New York, it would be perfect. So I hope eventually they think about that. But that's been talk. Let's move on. Talking about last week, talking about the Liga BWIN reviewing and previewing last week. Not really a lot of surprises. We saw Benfica go to Santa Clara round 17 and win 3-0. We saw Porto go on a João Mário goal, win at Guimarães. I always say, you always look at this match, Vitória, Guimarães, and Porto, and it's always a very good match, but Porto always seems to win at Guimarães, it seems, lately. We saw Sporting win at home to Vizela, 2-1. We saw Arouca play Portimonense. Arouca with the big 4-0 win. Just too bad there wasn't a lot of people to see it. There was only 839 fans in the stadium. We saw, but hey, and by the way, in this match, Arouca, Palestinian striker Dabag, who also scored a goal against Sporting in the League Cup this week. He has been fantastic for Arouca, and he did well against Portimonense, and he scored against Sporting, even though they lost to Sporting in the League Cup Final Four. But Palestinian striker Dabag has already 5 goals for Arouca in 2023. Gil Vicente went on the road to Casapia. Casapia now 2 losses in a row. They are now still in 5th place, but now Arouca is in 6th place, 1 point behind them. So those two teams are batting for the Europa Conference League next year. because that's what you get if you finish in fifth place. But Gilt has won three of their last four matches. I mentioned this in a tweet on PortugueseSoccer.com. They basically have as many wins in their last four matches as they did in their first 13 matches of the season. That's the kind of season Gil Vicente have. They are not a team like they were last year when Ricardo Suarez was manager, not even close. But Navarro, second leading scorer in the Liga, is scoring a lot of goals. He scored again last week for them. If I recall, he had a brace, including the winning goal. So Navarro has been doing a heck of a job. We saw Fama and Rioja play to a 0-0 draw. We saw Boavista 1-1 with Desportivo do Chaves. And those were pretty much the results last week, week 17. This week, well, first off, before we talk about this weekend, Benfica played Passos de Ferreira on Thursday with a 2-0 win up in Passos at a sold-out stadium. Benfica winning on goals by Grimaldo and João Mário. And Benfica now has the psychological advantage of a 7-point lead. They have already, obviously, they've played one more match. And now it puts the pressure on Braga and Porto, because knowing that Benfica already won a match that was supposed to be played in a few weeks but was moved up because Benfica is preparing to play Club Bruges, and they've got, they're playing in the Taça de Portugal, and that time period is a little bit tough for them. So the Liga agreed to move it to better protect Portuguese teams in European competitions. We'll see what happens later on with when Porto and Braga play in Europe. But Benfica, with the big win, with a 7-point lead, huge, huge psychological advantage for Benfica. I don't care if you say it isn't. It really, really is, in my opinion. And, you know, you look at coming up this weekend, and again, you've got the Taça of the Liga final on Saturday, and then you will have round 18 taking place after. No matches on Friday when I drop this episode, because they want all the attention and talk to be about Saturday's final. So that's all you have on Saturday is the League Cup final. And then on Sunday, you'll have four matches. You'll have one match on Monday, two matches on Tuesday, the last day of January the 31st. And then you'll have two matches on Wednesday. In case you're wondering, Casa Pia, Santa Clara, Vizela, Rio Ave, Boa Vista, Portimonense, Fama against Estoril. Those are the matches on Sunday. Monday, you'll have Vitória Guimarães against Chaves. And then on Tuesday, you'll have Passos de Ferreira taking on Gil Vicente. That's a good match between a team that wants to win, Passos, against a team that's been winning pretty good lately, Gil Vicente. The Benfica match has been moved to Tuesday because Arouca was eliminated from the Final Four, the League Cup. So that match is taking place. But late hour on Tuesday night, 21:15, and that's being taken place in Arouca. And then on Wednesday, Marítimo, Porto will be making the always what I think is a tough trip for a big three team. Even though Marítimo is not having a great season, they are in a position to get out of the bottom. And Marítimo at home, 1900 hours on Wednesday, will be playing Porto. And then the another 21:15, 9:15 at night match, late match. This is a good one. Sporting and Braga. Braga could bury Sporting definitely out of the Liga race with a win. Let's not forget, Braga a few weeks ago went to Alvalade and were losing 5-0 in the first half of the League Cup. And now they're going back to Alvalade, and they've got to remember the pain they suffered there. And if they want to stay close and be in the top two to qualify for the Champions League group, they got to win this match. There is no ifs, ands, or buts about it. Not to mention the fact they want to stay ahead of Porto, who's only 1 point behind them. To me, if you're asking me what are all the matches, it's pretty obvious. It's the last one on Wednesday night, and that'll be Sporting and Braga. Sporting, we'll see. Porto, we'll see these how they do based on what happens on the results Saturday. Quick turnaround, they play Saturday night, off Sunday, off Monday, off Tuesday in terms of not playing a match. And then they've got to go and get ready to play these matches on Wednesday night. But, you know, that's what happens when you're a big club in Portugal. You're competing in several competitions. That's just the way it goes. And that's going to be your round 18 schedule. Second division last week. First off, Moreirense continues to lead the way with 40 points. Feirense from the Algarve, second with 34 points. Estrela Amadora, third with 30. and Villafranca with 29. Those are your top four teams. At the bottom, you've got B-Sad. Will B-Sad be relegated? It's 2 years in a row. We'll see. B-Sad, though, is in 16th place in playoff position with 15 points. Trofens is in 17th place in the relegation zone with just 12. And Covilha, beautiful part of Portugal, one of the few places where it snows in Portugal. They are last with 8 points, and they are in very, very big trouble. But last week, to me, the most interesting result was that Moreirense went to last place Covilha, and they drew 0-0, 0-0. And that gave a chance for Feirense to play, because Feirense played after that match. And Feirense, had they won, they would have only been 3 points behind Moreirense. And let's not forget, Moreirense, before the World Cup break, had a 10-point lead in first place. And now, Feirense had the chance to cut it to just 3 points, but they lost. Feirense lost at Tondela. Tondela didn't draw. They actually won a match. And as a result, Feirense is still 6 points behind Moreirense. So Moreirense and Feirense from the Algarve right now are in pretty good shape in the top two. And then you've got Estrela Amadora and Villafranca and Académico do Viseu in the hunt, battling there 3, 4, and 5. And obviously, not only do they want to get into the top two, but at the very least, they want to make it into a third place so that if the season were to end today, they would basically be playing the 16th place team in the Liga B win. And when we look at the second division report, you know, again, you look at the matchups this weekend. They're playing, first off, obviously, they're not playing Friday and Saturday. There is six matches, actually, in 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 7 matches, actually, on Sunday. Turians, big win last week for Turians. They're playing Feirense. Covilha is playing FC Porto B. So you've got 6 matches on Sunday, 1 on Monday, and then you have the Académico do Viseu match against Benfica B. That'll be taking place on Wednesday. Best match for me when I look at this is probably Académico do Viseu, Benfica B. Well, actually, no, excuse me. I'm going to change that. Moreirense is going to be playing 4th place Villafranca. I think that's your big match, especially if Villafranca wants any hope of being top two. They need to win that match. But I also think you have a very good match as well with Académico do Viseu finishing on next Wednesday at home to Benfica B. Anytime Benfica B and FC Porto B come to your town, a lot of people go watch those matches. But I think that that's another very good match. So I'll say 2 good matches, in my opinion, regarding the second division report. And by the way, B-Sad, very interesting. Last match, they were playing at home against Villafranca, and I think they were offering tickets for 5 euros, and you got a Bifana with a drink. Let me tell you something. That is one of the greatest deals in sports to go to a game. When I go to a game in North America, you know how expensive it is when I buy chicken fingers, fries, and let's say I get a water? It costs me like $24 American. Let's think about that for a second. That's like right now with the exchange, like €23. I can go to see a second division match, buy and make 3 trips to get food for €23 at a second division match. I can go to a number of first division clubs for €23, but that's what I got to deal with here in America. But B-Sad last week had a special, €5 with the Bifana pork roll. Bifanas, oh, I love them. And a drink for €5 with their ticket last week against Villafranca. And that's what you got to do sometimes when you're trying to get fans to go see your match. So, folks, that's the first half of this episode. Coming up, I'm going to do a very big review of the transfer window, reviewing what happened last summer, who's doing deals this transfer window here in the winter market. And we're going to talk about that coming up here in a few minutes. Welcome back to part 2 of the PortugueseSoccer.com podcast. This is going to be a full review of the transfer window, very detailed. Let's not forget that the window is still open for about a week when I drop this podcast, this episode 155. But there's a lot of things that are going to happen. You know about Pedro Porro. Will Chelsea make a late run on Enzo Fernandez? You know about Enrico Raj. He's been loaned to Watford. You know, there's been a lot of things. But we'll talk about some of the moves that have already been made. But let's review quickly last summer. I want to check out some of the moves that have been made last summer. And let me tell you what went bad and what so far is going good. Okay, here we go. Number one, David Carmo, okay, was sold by Braga to Porto for 20 million. David Carmo hasn't played in like a few weeks, a few months. You have to say right now that, unless he wakes up, has been a bust. Gabriel Veron came from Palmeiras to Porto for about 12 million euros. That's worked out very well for Porto. He's been doing a pretty good job. Porto paid out what they needed to pay to Liverpool for Marko Grujic. That's, I think, worked out pretty good. Porto also paid last year Estrela Praia, something like 3.5 million euros for Andre Franco. He hasn't seen a lot of action. That hasn't worked out. Steven Eustáquio, Canadian international. Okay, they bought the purchase price from Passos, 8 million. That's been a bargain. He's going to bring a lot of money when he is sold to a bigger club. We saw Samuel make the move, the goalkeeper from Portimonense. He hasn't seen a lot of action. Rodrigo Conceição, basically Conceição's son, he got promoted. I think he was coming from Estrela Amadora. He hasn't played a whole lot. Danny Loader came up from, now, by the way, we're talking about players that were promoted from the B team to the first team. Rodrigo Conceição came up. That's worked out very well. Danny Loader is what I wanted to say. He's also come up. And then we look at some of the other deals. Nakajima was left the club, went to Portimonense. That hasn't worked out. Diego Leite came back from Braga, and then eventually he wound up going on loan to Berlin. So that's worked out well for him. Romario Baro left Estoril to go back to Porto. And he got, I think, sent to another club, which I'll talk about in a minute. Nanu has been sent back from Dallas. That hasn't really worked out. They're trying to figure out where to place him. And then Sergio Oliveira came back from Roma, and he was sold to Turkey. And that's where he's gone. And now let's talk about the players that left Portugal and went abroad. Vitinha, that's worked out well, going to PSG for 45 million. Fabio Vieira for about 30 million to Arsenal. That's worked out well for Porto. Chico Conceição went to Ajax. He's doing okay over there. Sergio Oliveira, I just told you about. He went to Galatasaray for about 6.5 million market value. We look at other things. Marchesin went to Celta Vigo. That's worked out well with how, you know, Costa's been doing, and obviously Claudio Ramos. We saw Diego Leite go to Union Berlin. Nakajima, my bad. He didn't go to Portimonense. He went to Enerbahçe in Turkey. Mbemba left to go to Marseille. He went on a free. Romario Barrio went to Casapia. He's been doing okay there. And those have been some of the players that we have seen making the move. Sporting, Ruben Vinagre went to Wolves. That hasn't really worked out. They brought in St. Just. Ruben Vinagre went to Everton. I'm sorry, I'm reading this in a place and there's some information that's not right. I got to do a better job. St. Just came in. He's been injured. The jury's out on him. I don't know. Poro, we'll see if he gets sold. The Greek kid, Sotaris Alexopoulos from Greece, hasn't been working out so far. Arthur Gomes came in from Estoril. He made a big move. Scored a big goal a few weeks ago. He's been okay. Morita, he's been okay, but he's been hurt. Trincon, I don't think he's been doing so great, in my opinion. He's been okay. Rochinha hasn't been doing so great. He had, I think, one match recently. He came in with a chance to score, and I think it was one of the matches where Sporting dropped points, so this hasn't worked out since he's come. Franco Israel, we don't know much about him because he hasn't played a lot. Tang Longo just joined the team, so we'll see how that goes. And there's just a whole bunch of players that are not really worth talking about. Quaresima came back from Tundela and was loaned out to Germany. It's been okay with Tim. You look at the players that Sporting sold. Mateus Nunes, big money. That's worked out well. Nuno Mendes, the PSG purchased him last summer. Obviously he was on loan at PSG and then they purchased him. That's been working out well for PSG. João Paulinha, what a deal. What a deal for Fulham. I think you have to say that's been one of the best moves. Tabata went to Palmeiras. I think he just won a trophy, so that's really worked out well. And you look at some of the other things here with Sporting, but you know, Ruben Vinagre went on loan to Everton. That's been a total bust. Thiago Lauri, I think he's coming back from Passos. Luis Felipe is coming back from FC Tokyo, so they've got to place these guys somewhere. And of course, we know Sarabia left, but there was rumors that he would come back, but that's not going to happen. Benfica, they've done very well. They brought in David Neres, Enzo Fernandez. They just brought in this transfer window, Schulderup. They brought in Ursinus last summer, João Victor, Alexander Ba, Kasper Tengt, Petr Musa from Boavista, Julian Draxler. And a lot of these moves have worked out. They also brought in, of course, Gonçalo Guedes on loan. They loaned Henrique Araújo out to Benfica B. That's worked out very well. They promoted under 23 Antonio Silva. That's worked out pretty well. And when you look at all the other deals, those are really the big ones. Thiago Dantas was loaned, I believe, to a club in Greece. Benfica, in my opinion, has done very well in terms of bringing in talent. So these are some of the moves that they've done so far. And I think Benfica has done pretty well for themselves. You look at other clubs here in terms of, let me see, Braga. Braga, Simon Banza, big time buy for them. He has done very, very well. I think you have to look at that. And then you look at, you know, Braga, they made $20 million on David Carmo. And David Carmo, as I just said, has just been doing very, very well. So those are the big three transfers. And I would say that, in my opinion, Benfica's done very, very well. Porto's done okay. Sporting has made a lot of money, and they're about to make a lot of money with Porto. So we'll see what happens with that. One thing I have to say that I don't understand, by the way, about Benfica is they loaned João Victor to Nantes in France. I think he came in last summer. And if you remember, or last year, Porto was after this guy. He was in all the newspapers. And then all of a sudden, like, in the very toward the end, Benfica went and got João Victor, and now they're loaning him out. Is this another example of Benfica getting a player that they just didn't want to go to Porto? Because I think the guy was hurt, but he's not getting a chance, and they're already loaning him out after they took him away from Porto. So I don't know. I just find that to be interesting that they're not really giving him any chance. They beat him for Porto, and now they're not really giving the guy a chance. And so I just thought that was pretty interesting. And another big move is Brooks. I think Benfica is getting about €500,000 for Brooks, who's moving to Hoffenheim. If I recall correctly, he came on a free toward the end of August. So I think this turns out to be a very good deal. Got him on a free, paid a salary, and now they're selling him for €500,000. I mean, that's a pretty good move. And obviously, the big move is bringing in Gonçalo Guedes, and we'll see if that's the player that's going to make a difference for Benfica down the stretch. And we'll see what happens. You know, Pedro Porro has been all the talk this past week. Again, I told you this two episodes ago. I'm going to tell you this right now. Pedro Porro, okay, they will sell him. They were far apart. Now they're starting to come closer. And it is amazing what happens when you're running out of transfer window days left, how a deal comes together. It's like trying to buy a house. So very interesting, very, very interesting, in my opinion, thing there with Porto. But it is going to happen. I think he will play Saturday, and then he will leave. And I think that's going to be a big thing. And by the way, Sporting has been trying to go after from that team from Denmark that they're going to be playing the Europa League, Midtjylland. Midtjylland, last report, wants $10 million for Mafra defender. He's on loan at Mafra, second division club. Sporting apparently raised their price to $7 million, but it's still not enough. At the end of the day, something will happen. They will do a deal. I think that's going to happen. And other things to talk about, the transfer window, we saw Fabio Silva go on a six-month loan to PSV. He had a falling out. He bust up with the Anderlecht manager. So he's going to a better league. Maybe that's going to be better for him, but we'll see if, in fact, it turns out to be better for him. So that's kind of your transfer report. There's a lot of small moves going on in Portugal. Will Navarro stay this transfer window? He's been one of the best players that's still left in Portugal that hasn't been sold. I've been talking to you about him for, the last 2 years now. Be curious to see if he's going to move on. And, this is also the time when you hear about young players at all these other Portuguese clubs because agents are pushing them. I know agents are pushing certain accounts to promote them. You'll hear about that stuff in the next week. So pay attention to that when you hear about, oh, look at this young player at this club. He's great. He had a great game against this. A lot of times the agents are pressing the buttons to get their players out there to get more attention. So just remember that when you see that this is the time of the year, especially this last week, when you're going to be hearing about Portugal and their great young players, because everyone's got a best interest in selling them and making money. So pay attention to that. Folks, I'm going to wrap up this episode, and I'm going to do like I always do and talk about my favorite team in Portugal, and that is, of course, Atlético dos Arcos. Great result last week, Atlético dos Arcos. They went to Campos. Campos, by the way, is in relegation zone, but they almost lost, but they did win 3-2. And the good news, well, the bad news is that Limianos also won. Limianos won 1-0 at Turien, so they barely won. So Atlético dos Arcos is in first place with 48 points. Limianos is in second with 43 points. And the good result is the third place team, Vitorino de Piões, lost at home to Coreia. So essentially right now, Atlético dos Arcos and Limianos, Arcos is 13 points in front of Vitorino de Piões. Vitorino de Piões is 8 points behind Limianos. So I think, at the very least, because the top two teams in this classification automatically go to the Taça do Portugal next year, it basically is a race between Atlético dos Arcos and Limianos, and that is really the big match. And Atlético dos Arcos only has a 5-point lead on Limianos. But we've seen Arcos the last few years stumble down the stretch. They go to the playoffs and they lose. So you got to treat it like it's only 1 point and not 5 points. This weekend, we're seeing Atlético dos Arcos. They're going to Cerveira, the seventh place team. That's always a tough match. Limianos has it very, very easy this weekend. They're going to play last place Chave, who I think Arcos just beat a few weeks ago, 7-0. So Arcos will be under pressure this weekend not to lose point to go to Cerveira, which is a club that usually wins the districts. They go up to the fourth division, and then they just don't do well, and they wind up coming back to the districts. And then after 1 or 2 years, they go back to the fourth division. So this is a very dangerous match for Atlético dos Arcos. So we'll see what happens. Folks, this will wrap up episode 155. Thanks to listening to my transfer report. Thanks to listening to my League Cup preview. A lot of football coming up in the next 5 to 6 days. Enjoy it. And hope you are all doing well in your part of the world. The views continue to be awesome. The hits continue to be awesome. And I just want to continue to say thank you again. If you're not following, please give a follow at iTunes, Spotify, Google Podcast, TuneIn app, Podcast Addict. You could also find the audio on YouTube. Had a lot of views last week. And thank you so much for listening. On that note, I'm going to wrap up episode 155. Take care of yourselves. Take care of your families. And I'll talk to you next week. Ciao, everybody.